ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Okay, so the word for this evening, we're talking about effective prayers for families. Effective prayers for families. And I do an intro. God is passionate about families. We know that. I remember like 2 Sundays ago, I was in the junior church and I was talking to, you know, our youngsters. And we're talking about the creation. And I was telling them about how God, you know, loves them so much and how he cares and thinks about them. God created man because he wanted a family. Bottom line. God created man because he wanted a family. And he is the father of all of the families. I want to read Ephesians 3. He is the father of all. He's the father of all. Ephesians 3, 14 to 15. Paul was talking here. And he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But aside from that, the whole family, this shows us that there's a family in heaven, there's a family on the earth. But God is the Father of all of these families, both in heaven and on earth. So God is passionate about families. I want to read the same scripture in the Amplified because I like how it, you know, how it puts it, how it just expatiates on it. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. It says, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name." So every family takes in heaven, on the earth, takes their title and derives their name from the fatherhood of God. God is passionate about families. God is passionate about families. And he also talks in terms of families. And I want to, you know, just talk about two men in the Old Testament, and I'll go into the New Testament. Genesis 6, talking about Noah. God is passionate about families. Like I said, the only reason why God created man was because of fellowship. He created man because of fellowship. Genesis 6, verse 8. You know, here God was talking about how he was sad that he had created man. But verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found grace. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 18 of the same chapter. Go back to NKJV now. 6:18. It says, "But I will establish," talking to Noah, it says, "I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you." But that verse 8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The grace that Noah found covered his family, because we're not told that God was pleased with his sons. He had three sons and their wives. But it is said that Noah found favor, found grace in the sight of God. And that grace, as the head of his family, covered his family. And they went into the ark. Genesis 7 and 1. It says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household. Like I said, God talks in terms of families. He talks in terms of generations. When he's addressing a man, he's not just addressing the man. He's not just looking at the man. He's looking at his descendants. He's looking at the generations that are going to come after the man. So, he said, you and your household, go into the ark. Genesis 9. Genesis 9. Genesis 9, verse 1 to 2. It says, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And this was a repeat of that dominion mandate that he gave when he created man in Genesis 1. Be fruitful and multiply, him and his sons. Verse 8 to 9. It says, then God spoke to Noah and to his sons, with him saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. God talks in terms of descendants, in terms of generations, in terms of families. We go to Genesis 12 and we talk about Abram. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God talks in terms of families. Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Verse 7 to 8. It says, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So I've taken two examples from the Old Testament. I take two also from the New Testament. I go to Acts 10, still talking about families and the value that God places on families. I go to Acts 10, verse 1. And this is the story of Cornelius. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. All his household. God talks in terms of families, of descendants, of generations, of households. Acts 16, verse 30. And this is the story of Paul and Silas when they were jailed. But I read from 30 to 34. We know what happened when they were praising God and worshiping God at midnight. We heard that there was an earthquake and the chains fell off from their hands. So, verse 30 says, and the jailer, when he heard that and all the prison doors were open, flung open, he thought they had left. But when he saw them, they called out to him and said, we have not gone, we are here. Just hold your cool. Verse 30 says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. They didn't stop there. They said, you and your household. They were not, yes, they wanted the man to be saved, but they were also interested in his household as well. So, God is so interested in families. He's interested in generations, in descendants, in our households. When he sees a man, he doesn't see a man. He sees the generations after him. He sees his descendants after him. So it is not enough that we are saved as individuals. God wants our families, our households also to be saved. And we're talking about effective prayer. The most effective prayers we can pray is scripture. We want to pray for our families, you want to pray for yourself. The most effective prayers we can pray is to pray scripture. Is to pray scripture. What do we mean by effectiveness? Effectiveness is something that we do that produces results. It's not a case of just, you know, flinging prayers, just scattering prayers, just, you know, for the sake of just mouthing words. No. Producing expected results. So the most effective prayers we can pray is scripture. So this evening, I'm just going to talk about a couple of prayers that we can pray for our families from scripture. A couple of prayers that we can pray for our families from the scriptures. The first and most important prayer to be prayed for our family is for salvation. Here, you can see what Paul and Silas told the jailer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So, even if you are saved as an individual, the next thing for you to do is to begin to pray for the salvation of your household. Everybody in your household must be saved. Everybody in our households, in our families, must be saved. We can't say, I'm saved though. If it's left to them, whether they want to be saved or not. No. Everybody in our household must be saved. And I know that sometimes we have people who we pray for them. We pray. And it's like God is not hearing the prayers. But we must continue to pray until they are saved. Until they are saved. So the most important prayer to pray for our family, first of all, is salvation. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. 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 So, first prayer point for our families, the most important prayer point, is that every member of our families should be saved, including our children. Don't let forget that one. Including our children, they must be saved. They must be saved. Joshua 24, following closely after that first one, that very important one. Salvation is the basis. Before you begin to pray for any other thing, we must pray for salvation. Joshua 24 and verse 15. I know that many of us will know this. This was when Joshua was, I was talking to the Israelites as they were crossing, as they were entering into Canaan. And he was recounting this, and this is what God had done and all of that. And he says here in verse 15, he says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So second important prayer is the prayer that every member of your house will serve the Lord. It is not enough to be saved. There are people who are saved who are not serving the Lord. There are people who are saved who we do not know whether they are Christians or not. Every member of my household must serve the Lord. And as parents, I have come to discover something, particularly concerning our children. When we give birth to them, there is a way that we can lock their destinies into God. It is your responsibility as a parent to lock the destiny of your child into God. Even if they go, it seems like they are not doing what you want. The prayers and what you have done when they were given birth to will find expression along the way. So, second important prayer to pray. We must all serve the Lord. Every member of my household must serve the Lord. Every member must serve the Lord. So we must begin to have in this place, in our area, you know, in the West, you have third, fourth generation Christians, fifth generation Christians. You have people who their great grandfathers were pastors, and the grandchildren, great grandchildren are also in that line. We must begin to see that around here. We must begin to see that around here. So Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As the head of the home, you can say that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in that same wise, Mark 12:30, and the same thing is in Deuteronomy. Let me see, Deuteronomy 6, I think. Yes, Deuteronomy 6. Same thing is repeated in Mark 12:30. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So, you pray also this prayer. A heart for God. A selling out completely to God. Like I said, particularly for our children, even for yourself, even for ourselves, as parents, as adults, a selling out completely. You need to pray. I pray to God. I said, "Teach me to love you." Because it is not... You know, I say this often. In this climb, it seems like we don't really understand what love means. Pardon me. But that is what I have seen. So, it is a prayer that we should pray for ourselves. Father, teach me to love you. Teach me to love you. So, we must pray this prayer. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That is the totality of your being. So, we must pray that prayer. There are diverse prayers to be prayed for our families. I have established there are two now. I have talked about salvation. I have talked about serving the Lord. And then some others that, you know, come after that we need to do. We need to pray regularly on a daily basis sometimes. Number one is for protection. You need to pray for your family for protection. And Psalm 91 just covers this. Psalm 91 covers this. I don't have to go there. Psalm 91 is in fact, I remember that at the beginning of the COVID, of the lockdown, I actually went looking for a personalized version. If you Google, check online, you'll see personalized versions of, I don't know, but I got one anyway. So it became an anthem. It became an anthem. And that's something we must consistently pray also for our families. Protection. 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 No evil shall befall me. No plague shall come near my dwelling place. 1,000 may fall at my right or at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. None shall come near me. We need to constantly pray for protection. There's one scripture that I'm going to look for it again, you know. But I was doing a study on something, but I came across it. And it says, "We have been delivered from the evil in this present world." You can check it up and let me know so we can, you know, give to our audience. We have been delivered from the evil in this present world. It's something that we must declare and decree at all times. So we must pray for protection. Very, very important. We must pray for protection. So again, we must pray for provision. For our families, we must pray for provision. And I have Psalm 23. I want to use, there are some other scriptures you can use, but I want to use Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." NLT says, The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. So, you pray for your family for provision. And of course, there's Philippians 4:1-9. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. So we must pray for provision. We must pray for provision for our family. You have children, you must pray for provision so that you can meet all of their needs, you know. We can meet all of their needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I shall not want. I shall not want. The psalmist says, once I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed, nor his seed beg for bread. Psalm 34 talks about the young lions do lack. There are quite a number of scriptures that we can pray, you know, for, you know, for provision. It says the young lions do lack. Let me look for it. It says even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. That's Psalm 34 and verse 10. So we must also pray for provision. Again, in our families, we must pray for prosperity and health. 3 John 2. We must pray for prosperity and health. It says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we must pray for prosperity. NLT says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. But I think I prefer the NKJV. Talks about, yes, says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So, soul prosperity. You pray for soul prosperity for your children. We pray for all-round prosperity. We pray for prosperity in health. We don't spend our money. I like that scripture in Isaiah. It says, why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? For me, that means the only thing I'm permitted to spend my money on is bread. It's food, not sickness. So, you pray for health. Exodus 23. Let's look at that. Exodus 23, 25 and 26. Exodus 23. This was what God told the Israelites as they left. And you know, we need to really look at that because they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They did not change their clothes. They did not change their shoes. Their true shoes were not worn out. Okay, so 25 says, so you shall serve the Lord your God and he will bless your bread and your water. This is a given that there's going to be bread and water. It's a given. There's going to be bread and water. He says, give us this day our daily bread. So, there is provision for bread. It says, he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So, we must pray for prosperity and health. Again, we must pray for unity. We must pray for unity. Very important. You know, there's this proverb in Yoruba. I can't translate it into English, unfortunately. And you see that a lot these days. I tell people that we're going to soon become like the West, like the whites, who you meet somebody and they say they don't have family. Is it possible that somebody doesn't have family? It's not possible. It's just that everybody has gone their own different ways. And somebody has said, I beg, don't call that person mine. Yoruba say something like, pardon me if you don't understand Yoruba. I say, Omo Yawusa. They stand alone, no connection. And we see that a lot. We begin to see that a lot in our own generation. You see people who one mother, five children, and the five children are scattered in different ways. We must pray for unity. We must pray for unity in our families. Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Two stages. First of all, husband and wife, pray for unity. Very important. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? We're still talking family, but you know that in family, there's a call to the family before you have the bigger. So that call, husband and wife, unity is very key. When there is unity, there is progress. Because as Psalm 133 says, it says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. It says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So when there is unity, there is blessing, there is progress, there is increase. So in our families, we must pray for unity. For your children, they must be united. We must be thick as thieves. No breaking of ranks. Pray for unity. We must pray for unity in our families. Like I said, two levels. Husband and wife, between your children, you must pray for unity. Again, I want to talk about the children now. Okay, before I talk about the children, we must pray for peace. We must pray for peace. Isaiah 32, verse 17 to 18. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings and in quiet resting places. We need to pray for peace. John 14, I wanted to even quote that when I was, exhorting, but I just said, okay, let me leave. It says, peace, Jesus was talking here. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we need to pray for peace. We need to pray for peace. We need to pray for vision. There's so many things we should pray about, but I'm just, as it came to me in order of importance, we need to pray for vision. Proverbs 29 and 18, verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It says, where there is, this one says, NKJV says, where there's no revelation. KJV says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. We need to pray for vision because every family represents something. We need to pray for vision, asking God that the purpose for which he has brought us together. I tell husband and wife, man and woman, whatever. For every union, there is a purpose. Yes, you like this person and you marry the person, but there is a purpose. So we need to pray that God will reveal to us the vision for our existence as the Daniels family. My purpose for existing is different from the purpose of the Kenigiwa's family. Everyone has their own purpose. So we need to pray. It says, where there is no revelation, where there is no vision. I think I should read KJV so that we get it in, it is concise. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish. So, and they say that when the purpose of something is not known, abuse is inevitable. So if I don't know the purpose for being married to Pastor Ayo Daniels, it is possible I abuse. And I will not be wrong in abusing because I don't know the purpose. So we need to pray for vision. Even for our children, we need to pray that the vision, the purpose of God in their lives be fulfilled, come to fruition. We need to pray for purpose. So I go to the children. Luke 2, very important prayer points for our children. Luke 2, verse 40, first of all. The popular one that we use is 52, but I came across 40 and I loved it. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So that is the prayer point for our children. Verse 52 of the same chapter. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. We must pray these prayer points for our children. Again, Isaiah 8. Talking about the children now. Isaiah 8, verse 18. It says, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Nigeria, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. We are for signs and wonders. So you can pray to God asking that your children be for signs and wonders, because that is what Isaiah said here. That's what the Bible says there. We are for signs and wonders. Isaiah again, verse 54, chapter 54, sorry, and verse 13. Yeah. It says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So these are prayer points that we also must pray for our children. We can teach them. We train. Says train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. But as humans, we have limitations. So those areas that we cannot cover. Bible says here, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Hallelujah. I leave you with Psalm 112. And I want us to, I'll just read through it. I will not pick out prayer points, but I want you to actually, when we get back home, pick out the prayer points, because it has quite a number of salient points. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. It says, his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. And this is so key. Unto the upright, there arises light in the darkness. In these times of darkness, light must arise for us. You can make that decree. Wherever you are, light must arise for you. It says, he's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. It says, a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So please let us be, how shall I say it now? Let us be aware. Let us become very aware of praying for our families. Not just doing individual prayers, but as a family, as a family unit, let us, you know, spend time praying for our families. Like I said, the list is inexhaustive. This is just a few. For me, you know, the things that are paramount, so to say, things that are very important, like foundations, like foundational prayer points for our families. You can add to this. There's a lot that we can add to this. But let's just begin to intentionally pray for our families. Father, we thank you this evening. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, because you are the God that answers prayers. Therefore, all flesh come to you. And thank you, God Almighty, because you delight in us as your family. You are the Father in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named after. We take our title, O God Almighty, from you. And so, Father God, thank you for this family of Lighthouse here this evening and for every family that is watching online with us. We ask, O God Almighty, that your blessing will rest upon us afresh in the name of Jesus. And I say this evening, may the Lord bless you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he may give you peace in all of your ways. May he lift his countenance of peace upon you. Your going out is blessed. Your coming in is blessed. Your children are blessed. The works of your hands are blessed. The fruit of your body is blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, as we continue in the week. Thank you, God Almighty, because you lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You will lead us in the way you want us to go. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Have a restful night.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,